From the Rams studio connected by AT&T, welcome to Between the Horns. It is November 2nd. I'm Miles Simmons. I'm joined by my buddy DeMarco Farr. The Rams are 5-2, and they are now coming off of a bye week. We've got a lot to get to today, DeMarco.
Why'd you change your seat? Why are you taller than me?
What are you talking about?
Are you trying to be taller than me
now? First of all, you're derailing the open to the show.
I'm looking at
interesting.
I usually can see the top of your head.
I'm sorry.
Now you're Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I have new glasses on, too.
I do like the glasses.
Yeah, you like the glasses?
Yes.
Okay, well, people who are watching this on therams.com or the app, you can see the clear specs.
I'm lying to them, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that.
Anyway,
we got a lot to get to. I mean, from
Let's
the trip
go.
To London,
yeah.
We got some not quite mid-season awards that I want to get to. Trades in the NFC West.
Okay.
Even more as we preview the Giants game. But we will go back to what happened a couple of weeks ago now with the Rams in London. 33-0 victory over the Cardinals. How about getting the first shutout since 2014?
Wow, it's been that long.
Consecutive shutouts, 52-0.
The Raiders.
Then, yes.
Yes,
and then
okay.
24-0 against Washington the following week.
Okay.
Last two.
Well, it was a great win for the Rams in Arizona, number one. We talked a lot about Adrian Peterson.
In Arizona.
Against Arizona in London.
Where
excuse
do you
me.
Think we were?
I'm still getting acclimated to the Pacific time zone. It's weird. We talked a lot about how the offense, the Cardinals' offense, was going to change with Adrian Peterson, and the defense was going to have to stand up, and they absolutely did.
Yeah.
In particular, Michael Brockers,
mm-hmm.
Who's really, really enjoying his life outside of a nose tackle role, where he's getting double teamed a lot. Now he's single blocked. He's able to make a lot of plays, and really should start to garner some Pro Bowl consideration with the way he's playing. I thought he really controlled the line of scrimmage. So, controlling that offense, keeping Carson Palmer and company off the field, and keeping Jared Goff on it, recipe for a win for the Rams.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up Michael Brockers because I think he has played outstanding, especially
mm-hmm.
since they moved him over to that five technique role. When you're talking about Adrian Peterson, I mean, that's still a guy who had 134 rushing yards the week prior against mm-hmm. the Buccaneers, and then you come into this game, and I think he breaks off a couple runs that were maybe like 5, 6, 7 yards in that first couple drives, and then it was just nothing. There was just no room at the end, and I think that's a credit to Brockers especially.
I was like smacking people around that said, oh, look, I told you he was over the hill and he had nothing left. I was watching, showing them tape. You're taking away from what the Rams have done on defense and what they did on defense. Look, do you see a hole? Do you see any sort of daylight for Adrian Peterson? I mean, he's having to bounce off 2 and 3 guys just to get the ball to the outside to, you know, at least pick up 1 or 2 yards.
Right.
I mean, they had a great day against the run. And then getting after the passer, finally knocking Carson Palmer out of the game again.
Finally.
You knew it was inevitable.
Well, you know
it was
what?
Inevitable with the Rams and Carson Palmer.
You know,
eventually, he's going to go out.
You know, it's funny. Matt and I were just talking about this.
Yeah.
Our producer, who is back on the mic over there, and it seems like every single time the Rams play Carson Palmer and the Cardinals, he gets knocked out of the game.
Oh, yeah. I know his trainer down in Hermosa Beach. I'm going to send him nothing but Rams gifts.
Oh, my gosh.
Until the end of time. I mean, seriously, like a Mark Barron jersey. I don't know who got him this time. I mean, like a quarterback sneak, just a bunch. Yeah.
It was Alec Ogletree this time.
Ogletree got him this time, a 52. Why not? Just endless supplies of Ram stuff. Yeah, he's had nothing but rough days. But, you know, up until that point, Carson Palmer was actually looking pretty good, moving the football down the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when they knocked him out, things changed, and then, you know, the Cardinals couldn't, you know, overcome that loss, and then the Rams just steamrolled them. So, look, that's what you're supposed to do when you have teams that are down or shorthanded. You're supposed to just out-depth them.
Right.
And win the war of attrition, and they did.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think the Rams have done a good job of so far this year. Going back to week one,
mm-hmm.
talk about the Indianapolis Colts. You don't have Andrew Luck in there, and it actually just came out today that they're putting Andrew Luck on IR for the rest of the season, so we're not going to see him at all, which is
why
a
even
shame.
Play the game? Just say he's out for the year way back when.
You
knew he wasn't coming back.
Right?
Yeah,
and
I know.
It's a shame that, you know, you have the shoulder
tickets.
Soreness.
Right.
I don't know if it's even that. I think it's... Part of it was, to me at least, it seemed like they thought he might be able to come back at some point. He did start throwing,
yeah.
and then the shoulder soreness just never went away, reportedly. And
they
so that's
hoped
why.
He was. Who was the quarterback that the Rams faced? I can't remember that
Scott
guy.
Scott Tolzien.
Scott Tolzien. So you're not going to sell many tickets in Indy with Scott Tolzien as your starting quarterback.
No.
So you always hold out the hope that Luck is coming back until
yeah.
you get to midseason.
Well, right.
When they've got half the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have, I mean,
Jacoby. And then level with him. He can't play. Yeah.
Right. Well, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, that's why they acquired him, in order to be able to be this backup.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah, he doesn't look bad at all.
Not at all.
We'll talk about sort of the quarterback situation there. Not there, but with the Patriots in that trade.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that because I think that's really interesting.
But shorthanded football teams, this is what you're supposed to do to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's one coaching point that I learned as a pro is, and I learned this from Dick Vermeil, and it was great. This is before we became a championship football team, but he outlined what it takes to be a playoff football team. And one of the things that jumped out is what good teams do is they keep losing teams losing.
Yes.
Keep bad teams playing like they're bad teams. So when you're facing an Indy without their top guy, you should steamroll them. When you knock a starting quarterback from the lineup in a game that's supposed to, you know, supposedly a home game, anywhere you play, when you knock that guy out of the game, you should start to steamroll, and that's what happened.
It is exactly what happened, and I think the biggest example of that is in the fourth quarter, where you go on a 16-play, 80-yard drive that finishes with a touchdown, and it really just ices the game. I love drives like that.
Took me 2 days to get through the offensive video. There's 81 plays on there.
That's a lot of plays.
81 plays. Imagine what it was like for Carlos Dansby. A linebacker for the Cardinals.
Who is up there in linebacker years, especially he's above the age of 30.
Imagine what it was like for Patrick Peterson. He gets paid to stop people from catching passes, not stop the run.
Right.
81 plays, and half that, more than half that in the second half, were run plays.
Right.
It's just brutal. So, yeah, I mean, that's how you want to diagram and play a football game against a team like that. 51 plays on defense, and half the starters didn't play in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a college butt-whooping.
It is.
Yeah, that's how you do it in London.
Absolutely. And weird things tend to happen in London. I mean, games like that, lopsided, those types of games. And I think the Rams, having been there last year, and even a lot of members of the coaching staff having been there last year, talking about Sean McVay, went there with Washington. You have that experience, it makes a difference as opposed to not having ever been there before.
Oh, no doubt. I remember asking him in Jacksonville the day before the team left for London. And, you know, I kind of knew, but I'm trying to make small talk because it was right before his media, you know, I hate to call it what it is, when you guys get together and talk to the coach.
Well, it's media availability, a scrum.
Okay, there's something else you got. I don't even want to say it because it's bad.
I don't know what
you mean. The scrum. I like the scrum.
Okay.
So he was standing off to the side waiting for his opportunity to get into the scrum.
Yeah,
so
just
making small talk with the coach. And I said, hey, you know, how was the last time you were in London? And he looked at me with a straight face and said, we tied. Like, he wasn't happy at all. Like, it's still vivid in his mind.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of get back that he wanted personally in London. So, yeah, they were prepared. And it's been, like, three different, I guess, routines in London. If you go back to when they played the Patriots, you try to get there early and acclimate, and the Patriots show up on Thursday and just wipe the floor with you. You try to do a little bit, just a little bit differently against the Giants. You had the game, couldn't close, they beat you.
Right.
This time, he says, it's a business trip. We're not going to see sights. We're going to win a football game. We're showing up on Thursday. We have a plan for Friday and Saturday. We're going to play like gangbusters on Thursday and get the hell out of there. And that's exactly what they did. So we talked about this, man. An 11-day road trip, and your second game of an 11-day road trip, you actually improve?
Yeah.
That's great coaching. That's great preparation.
Yeah, and I was so impressed by that.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about it as we got on the plane to come back to Los Angeles. I mean, you don't see that kind of thing very often. To not let up a point. And I know, and like I just said, that Arizona had never been over there before. But you don't allow a single point to a division rival on the road, effectively, you know, so many time zones away, 8 hours ahead of your home base, and you don't allow a point after you haven't slept in your own bed for 10 days, man, that's something.
Every player that has a problem with playing in London, one of our favorite guys in the world, Kenny Britt, popped off and says he hates London games. Well, when you see a performance like that, when you walk over there and shut a team out, well, you're going to see a lot more London games. Guys, teams can't handle it. And we said this. It depends on what type of team you're taking over there.
It does.
We talked about the time zone, your body clock, all that sort of stuff. And it all plays in. It all factors in. But it really just depends on how good your team is and how prepared you are to play. I mean, you can play at 4 o'clock in the morning if need be.
Yeah.
If you're ready for it and if you prepare for it. And this team prepared for that time zone.
Absolutely. And McVay gave a lot of credit to head trainer head trainer Reggie Scott, mm-hmm. and then head strength and conditioning coach Ted Rath, for the way that these guys were able to prepare, because it's not easy, I think, to do all of that with 63 players when you add in, you know, the 46 on game day, then the 7 inactives, and then also the practice squad guys, and they were all ready to go and from the opening snap.
Great staff, great prep. Coach Rath scares the bejesus out of me.
Me too, man.
Yeah, doesn't he? I mean, the guy's intense.
Hey, you know what, though? He's a nice guy. Because the first time... He is.
Really? I'm afraid to even approach the guy.
First time we ever met him, we were coming back from the combine. Matt, you were there with us, right?
Yeah, we met him at our gate at the airport.
Yeah, at the airport.
Oh, so away from football.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
No, we're not talking about, like, on the field, like... I don't want any part of that, you know me.
Okay. Well, he's the get back coach. You know what the get back coach is?
Everybody get back.
Get
from
back.
The line.
And I'm standing down there doing my job as sideline reporter. He screams, "Get back!" and looks at me. So what do I do?
You got
I
back?
I backed up two steps. Wait a minute. This is my job.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's intense, though. I mean, he's serious about what they do, and they're on the cutting edge. So when you have that coupled with a pretty good team and a really good head coach, I mean, no surprise.
And the other thing that I think is important to point out about these guys is that they have the Rams really healthy right now.
Yeah.
Because you look at around the league, so many different injuries. And at this point, it looks like all of the Rams starters are going to be healthy going into week 9. That's a little bit rare.
That's the first indicator for me that it's not – when you talk about Sean McVay and his youth, the first thing I thought was, oh, God, training camp's going to be hell. You know, he's got a lot to prove, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. He wants to prove to these guys he's in charge, that sort of stuff. But it wasn't like that. You get through training camp and preseason, and you're relatively healthy, and you're improved. You're an improved football team through that. Well, this guy's got a plan, and he's working his plan. And then here we are, you know, midseason, and you're 5-2. So – I don't think I'm not surprised by a 5-2 record. Are you surprised by a 5-2?
Not based on the way they've played, no.
Or practice, or prepared for this season. So, yeah, I mean, the pieces that they brought in, we were talking outside about Andrew Whitworth and what a big deal it is to have him here and how much he's changed the offense. So, I mean, they've got some good pieces. They've got some good players. They've got the right coach. Jared Goff is starting to come around. So, I think this 5-2 is real, and it's not surprising.
I agree with you. And so I think that is a very good segue into our next segment, which is going to be the not quite midseason awards. So
a long way to say midseason awards. Just say midseason. Man.
No, because it's not. No, because
always outthinking himself. See, this is the guy that has 8 different motions just to run a dive. Just line up and run the play, man. Good God.
But you know why I say that, right? Because we're 7 games through the season. We're not quite 8. So it's not quite midseason awards. Da-da-da.
Go ahead.
All right. So the first one. Who is your MVP through the first 7 games?
Oh, my MVP.
For the Rams.
Oh, Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
pretty
that's,
easy one.
That's the easy way to go.
And what I would say, too.
Yeah, I mean, heavy usage. He's bailed out Jared Goff. The offensive line, by extension, I guess, would be in with Todd Gurley as MVP.
Fair.
Especially the job they did on Arizona in London. Just shoved those guys around, pushed them around, really did what they wanted to. But I would go with Todd Gurley. Putting the biscuit in the basket has been huge. I think he's been a different player out of the backfield catching passes. Dual threat guy. No longer are linebackers just worried about him on first and second down or just carrying the football. You've got to cover him, too.
You do.
And they have a wide variety of pick plays to get him open. So, yeah, I would say Todd Gurley.
I would agree with you. 920 yards from scrimmage, 8 total touchdowns, which is currently leading the league, I should say. He has 627 yards rushing, which is unbelievably almost 70% of his rushing total from last year, where he had 885 yards. So, and like you were saying, the offense basically runs through him. And when you have that, that's really fun to watch.
Picking him for MVP makes me happy and sad.
Why is that?
Because it should be Jared Goff. Jared Goff should be your MVP. Like, in New England, who's your mid-season? What do you call this again? Your not quite midseason award?
Yes.
Who's your MVP in New England?
Well, it's going to be Tom Brady.
Who's your MVP in New Orleans?
Drew Brees, probably.
That's what I mean.
I haven't paid enough attention to New Orleans to know what's going on there, but I know that they're winning.
Well, their
defense
right now is really doing great.
But, right.
I mean, your guy, your team is determined or you're relying on your quarterback to win games,
but
mostly.
At the same time, I don't
think... Most of the good teams are.
Yeah. Right, but I think it's a credit to how good Todd Gurley is because New England and I think New Orleans right now don't have a player that is as dynamic as Todd Gurley is.
Agreed. Running back, yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you're also talking about guys that have been in the league 10-plus years and have MVP awards for them. You're not...
It's heading.
Jared Goff is still a young quarterback, and he's still growing.
It's trending towards that. I thought when he pulled the ball down or pulled it out on that read option and ran it into the end zone, I mean, absolutely crashed himself into the end zone. I thought that was huge. Now, I'd like it for you to throw the ball in the end zone, not carry it in there and take the shot. Let somebody else take the shots, but... I thought that was a big boy thing to do.
It was a big boy thing to do. And you know what? It reminds me of a quote he gave to Bleacher Report. And over the summer, this Bleacher Report guy was at a camp that Jared Goff did. And they, of course, do an interview. And one of the things Jared said was that he doesn't want to be thought of as a little witch with a B. And that reminded me, that play.
A little witch with a B.
It's just so he didn't have to censor it.
Yeah. A witch bee?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we can say that word.
I got you.
I'm trying to make it easier on you, Matt.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But that's what he was saying because, he got hit a bunch of times. 26 sacks in 7 games. Right now he's only been sacked 10 times. And the thing that he said was that I don't want people to think of me that way. And I want to make sure that I show my toughness. And so when I saw him lowering his shoulder and crashing into the end zone, that was one of the first things that came.
Well, that's not going to change my mind as a defender. I mean, that's going to make me think you're crazy. You're insane. that you've lost your mind. I mean, showing toughness to me is taking a pop in the pocket and getting right back up.
Sure.
Yeah, not showing any ounce of pain or fear of a pass rush. Mm-hmm. That's toughness as far as quarterback.
And I think he's done that.
No doubt, but he hasn't been hit that much. I think,
not this year.
I remember asking on the way through L.A., through customs, how many times was your guy hit today or yesterday in London? And we were trying to count. I can't remember that many. And then you go back and watch. It wasn't that many at all.
No.
And when he was hit or contacted outside of that touchdown run, it was mostly him that was initiating contact or late delivering the football. So great protection. Great passing schemes to get the ball out. And, you know, look, you have a live quarterback to finish out the year, hopefully.
Yes, absolutely. All right, second, not quite midseason award.
I hate this.
Who is your rookie of the year?
Rookie
of 7 games.
Do I even need to say his name?
I'll say it for you.
Go ahead.
Cooper Kupp.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For more than just catching passes, for getting people lined up.
Yeah, he does that.
Oh, yeah.
I will never forget this. And this was in the off-season program.
How Jared can you Goff forget it? It happens every game.
I know, but Jared Goff was marveling at that.
Yeah.
After practice one day, I was talking to him. And it's just something he pointed out was just rare for especially a rookie wide receiver that's just coming in to help get guys lined up right.
There's the rookie lining you up, and there's the veteran with his hands out saying, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with this
a little
deal.
But I think it also, like, you didn't say that part, but you could also give some credit to Cooper Kupp for the way that he's played and the way, you know, he knows things.
But he's not a Martian. It's not supernatural. It's just he's dedicated.
And he's polished.
Well, polish is something that you have to work at.
Right.
That's the thing. Everyone can be on the same page.
Okay.
Just work as hard and as long as he does. It's not that hard.
I'm not going to disagree with you. 23 receptions, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns for Cooper Kupp so far.
Yeah.
And I think that he is definitely somebody who's done a nice job.
The speed part, the hands part, everything. I mean, some stuff you're born with, but all the stuff that we're talking about now, that's all the stuff everyone can do.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's
everyone true. Everyone should be as deep in the playbook as he is or as the quarterback is.
Right.
If you want the football.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So who is your most improved Ram through 7 games?
I'd love to say Michael Brockers, but he's always been this guy. I think you have to give credit to this defensive staff, Wade Phillips in particular, for moving him off the nose tackle and putting him out at defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's not doubled, where he's actually active and in the play, where he can be a playmaker.
Yeah.
Not just a hold the point guy so Aaron Donald can make all the plays.
Right.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and say Michael Brockers just because of that move.
Okay. Well, then we finally have differing answers. Because I would say Jared Goff.
Okay.
And I think that's sort of an obvious answer, but we just sort of talked about all of the virtues of Jared Goff. But when you look at what he did in his rookie year, and you can say all you want about the offensive system and how everything turned out there, and, you know, we have. He had a lot of room to grow, obviously, heading into this season, and he did that. You know, he worked very hard at it. You know, going to Adam Dedeau as the private quarterback instructor who has done good work with other quarterbacks in this league, and I think the way he dedicated himself, plus the way Sean McVay came in, brought Matt LaFleur and Greg Olsen with him as offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, he's been able to grow a lot.
I agree. He's always been a good driver to me. He just has a faster car now.
Okay.
That's the way I see it.
Yes.
So, I mean, the ability was always there. You just didn't see it last season. It was buried behind usually his own guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, going backwards. But now it's a little bit different. There's more than enough wrinkles going at the defense to where you just can't key in on him. So, by extension, I see where you're going with that. But just as far as guys that are different from a year ago, the plays they're making, I mean, it's hard to look past number 90.
I don't disagree with you on that. I think Michael Brockers has always been a very good player.
Yeah.
But it's in the way that we can now really see it.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like you were saying before, he's always been taking up the double team so Aaron Donald could make the plays, at least since I've been here.
Since Donald 2014. Got here.
Right.
Yeah.
And which was the same time I got here.
Right.
But when you look at Brockers, he's always kind of had this ability to make plays when he was in one-on-one situations. And he wasn't in them that often, but he was sometimes, and you could see it. Now you're seeing him more consistently.
If you were a prime three technique, then Donald wouldn't be here. So in a 4-3, somebody's got to play the nose. Well, this is a 3-4. It's equal opportunity.
It is.
You have the ability to make plays, and they're going to put you in position to make plays, and he has maximized it.
Absolutely. All right, so who do you have? Oh, wait, before we get to that, I actually want to shout out to Tyler Higbee and Farrell Cooper as kick returner and punt returner.
Nice.
Two guys who've also improved a lot.
I like those
honorable
picks.
Honorable mentions.
I like those picks.
So who do you have as the Rams' biggest addition, most important addition? Through the first seven games for your midseason, not quite midseason, award?
Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah.
That's the easiest pick.
It kind of is, yeah.
I told you, like, I would love to watch Rams football games with Andy Dalton. Just to see how, like, wow, that's your left tackle out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's your guy that's keeping people off Jared Goff.
Right.
Remember how that felt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but just his presence on the football team, on the field, it speaks for itself. How many pressures? Maybe like a handful of pressures,
sacks.
Yeah, and one of those sacks wasn't his fault. I mean, he's just been, he's everything you thought he would be as a player, but his presence off the field is immeasurable.
Yes.
Yeah, the way he carries himself and the way that the players look up to him is just immeasurable.
And it's not just the players, you know.
And the coaches,
Sean McVay was talking about this on Wednesday afternoon about Whitworth's presence and how he can go to him sometimes for advice because Whitworth has been in this league for so long. And it's not that Whitworth is preaching or whatever. It's that Whitworth will sometimes just kind of make a suggestion and kind of put it in your mind. And McVay was saying that sometimes later on, you go and you implement that suggestion and you think, wow, what a great thing it is to have Andrew Whitworth on this team to just be able to go to that. He actually compared it to having Wade Phillips on the staff as well because
Wade Phillips
has that kind of knowledge and things you can just implement.
He can go Belichick and Greg Popovich on you in a heartbeat. In a fun sort of way, yeah. Just when you come to him with a question, make sure it's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Make sure, like, you're not wasting that guy's time.
You
now, he'll joke with you,
time.
But he'll know, like, okay, this is stupid. I'm moving on.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. As I was talking to Jamon Brown on Wednesday, too, and I was asking him about Jared Goff. But he was saying that one thing that he's noticed with Goff is that he's really been a sponge and that you have guys like Whitworth, like Sullivan, who have come in, and he's trying to learn everything that he can from those guys because they're such pros and they're such veterans.
I was talking to Isaac Bruce on the bench at Jacksonville, and a week later, Torrey Holt was in the house in London. So we were talking about the very same things, and we were talking about player X and why player X is not developing as fast as most people thought. And then we go back to, well, who's he hanging around?
Mm.
And then you wonder, why is he hanging around with him?
Right.
Yeah. Where's that guy been?
Yeah.
Where's he going to lead you? Well, if you want to be good or great in this league, talk to somebody who already is.
Mm-hmm.
They can help you, not the opposite. All those other guys can do is bring you down. All guys like Andrew Whitworth can do is bring you to your potential and beyond.
I agree with that. And I think that's why he has been such a huge addition for this football club. You know, it was funny reading some stuff about the Giants throughout this week. I read something that was basically lamenting the fact that they did not go after Andrew Whitworth because of all the struggles that Eric Flowers is having over there.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because it's something that Rams fans know very well with who used to be the left tackle in L.A. / St. Louis.
Voldemort? We can't say his name, though?
No, I'm just...
Greg Robinson.
Go ahead. We're talking about Greg Robinson, obviously. You are the one who
We're not putting him down.
No, I don't think so. But you are the one who is usually like, oh, well, it's the Pez.
Do I sound like that?
No, not really.
I've got the headphones on, and it's not what it sounds like.
Okay, thank you very much. That's just his interpretation.
That's my
I have a feeling everyone sounds like that to him.
We're just like Charlie Brown adults.
Okay, anyway.
Sometimes they do.
I saw a t-shirt I was going to buy for you.
What t-shirt?
It says, I drink and I know things. Perfect for Miles.
It is perfect for me. but I think Andrew Whitworth, just his presence and everything, it's something that other teams can envy if they don't have that left tackle.
I've been out there, and I know the frustration of going up against somebody like him, a guy that you just can't beat.
Mm-hmm.
And you see guys start to back off and give ground before the snap.
Exactly.
It's just, I know I'm not getting there. So, and that just gives the offense that much more confidence.
It certainly does. All right, two honorable mentions for this, like we had.
Matt Longacre. Got to throw him out there.
Okay, well, but he's not an addition. That's not the category.
Technically,
what are you saying?
Is.
Improved?
Technically, he
you
is.
You should have nominated him for his honorable mention for most
he's
improved.
Get
the categories.
We thought he was a 4-3 defensive end. This guy has transitioned into an outside linebacker, and he also leads this team in sacks.
He does.
Yeah, that also has Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn on the same football team. Mm-hmm. But when you look, Longacre's up at the top. So I don't care what category it is, I'm saying his name. Matt Longacre, there.
I agree. Matt Longacre is also
most improved, biggest addition, biggest surprise.
Okay, I should have said. Okay,
how about
biggest
that?
Surprise. Yeah, you created a category.
I created a category.
Good.
In the mid-season, not so mid-season Miles Awards. Anyway.
But I wanted to shout out Robert Woods and Nickell Coleman, USC guys who came in as free agents. And they, I think, have been playing outstanding.
Just edged out. Whitworth just edged out Robert Woods for biggest addition.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he has been phenomenal, Robert Woods.
I
love
really
his demeanor
too.
On the field, and I love his ability on the field. He is hungry. Yeah. He wants the football.
Yeah.
But he wants to win, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that receiver, I want to say diva attitude, but he wants the football. He always thinks he's open. I love that about him. But when the ball is not going to him or it's a run play, he's playing just as hard.
I respect that. Yeah, I do, too. All right, so... who is a name that you think will make a splash in the back nine of the season?
A splash in the back nine?
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was my first
Has
name.
To.
Yeah.
Has to. You know, it's maddening. There was a play in London. See, I have to remind myself where we were. Against Arizona, where he's going to run a corner route into the end zone. And he set up Patrick Peterson perfect for that route.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... you're talking about one of the best cover corners in the game, and he was lost.
Yeah.
That speaks to the talent of Sammy Watkins. The problem is Jared Goff and Sammy weren't on the same page.
Yeah.
When he's doing the setup move, Jared's letting it go. So the ball actually lands in the end zone. But receiver and football was so far away that they had to let go of an illegal contact on Patrick Peterson because it's considered uncatchable.
Yeah.
But if you run the right route and it's timed up, it's probably a touchdown. It's just weird. I mean, those are the things that are going to – in my opinion, determine if you're going to be a playoff team or not. You need those touchdowns, especially against the murderer's row you're going to face the next 9 weeks.
It's
you're going to need those sevens.
It's true.
Yeah, that's got to happen.
Yeah. So I think he's going to be definitely big over this back nine, but also Gerald Everett on the offensive side.
Yeah.
Because we haven't really quite seen him go off in a game yet, and I do expect that we'll see that at some point over the course of the rest of the season.
You can't guarantee anything in football, but as close to a guarantee as you can get, I would say he's going to really rip it up against some of these teams. I wouldn't say they're purposely sitting on him, but there's some stuff left in this offense that we haven't seen yet. There's some matchups they're going to take advantage of down the road that we just haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
The games have been in the Rams' favor. You didn't have to go too deep into the playbook to win some of these games,
right.
But we know down the stretch versus other good offenses, you're going to start to see those plays.
Yeah.
And I bet he's going to be wrapped up in the offense big time.
I think so, too. All right. So those are our not quite mid-season
Hate the
awards.
Name. Yep.
Wasn't that fun?
Matt Longacre.
Didn't you like going over all the things we've seen?
No, just because of the name. Anyway.
All right. But there were a lot of trades that happened sort of while we've been away over this bye week into the trading deadline. And it's funny because this season, I think, has seen more trades, and I don't know this for sure.
Thank God you said that. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. But there have been a lot of trades. Yeah, yeah. I mean, from the draft into the offseason program, training camp. The Rams even made one bringing in Sammy Watkins. And now you get to the trade deadline, and two big trades happen in the NFC West. One, the Seahawks get Dwayne Brown, which is, I mean, a good pickup for them because they need that on their offensive line.
That's a massive pickup, Miles. Yeah. That's huge.
That's what I'm saying. It's a significant trade. But it's one that I think people sort of saw coming because it was kind of telegraphed on Sunday before the Texans started playing the Seahawks. I remember seeing that.
Right.
But then you have this other trade that really stunned me. And that's Jimmy Garoppolo going from New England to San Francisco for a second-round pick.
Why stunned?
Because
you thought they were in the Cousins sweepstakes?
Well, I think it's that part of it, and I think it's that New England...
That was shocking.
The reporting I saw out of both spots had me not thinking that something like that would happen for either team. You know, from the San Francisco part of it, it's the Kirk Cousins thing. And everybody was saying, oh my gosh, Kirk Cousins to San Francisco after this season because Washington's not going to pay him on the franchise tag. And then you have all this, and he knows Kirk Cousins from his time in Washington. And then from the New England side of it, though, you had Adam Schefter on television, you know, really like emphatically proclaiming New England is not trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, granted, that was before
you mean at the time.
Draft. right.
Yeah.
Right. But I just, the way it's been set up and the way Bill Belichick is, Tom Brady is 40.
Yeah.
Like, and I know there was this good article in ESPN, the magazine, about the TB12 method and everything like that. And Tom Brady is still obviously playing at a very high level. But there are only two things in this life that are undefeated, and one of them is father time.
What's the other one? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which would it be? Just kidding. No, but look, the only team in the league that could actually go at it with one quarterback would probably be New England.
Well, they have two now. Brian Hoyer signed back with them.
Which you're going at it with one quarterback would be New England. And, yeah, he's 40, but doesn't play like he's 40. So
no, I know he doesn't.
And, you know, we all laughed at it. I think after his last Super Bowl win, he said he wanted to play until he was 45.
He did.
We thought he was kidding. I think he's serious. And I think Belichick and Brady will go out at the same time. So, and just reading Belichick's quotes about the move, trading Jimmy Garoppolo, he said, we rode this thing out as long as we could, which means they had every intention on trading him.
Yeah.
Just when they could get the best deal possible, they would make that move. So I guess San Francisco gave them exactly what they wanted. San Francisco is going to be different the next time you see them.
On New Year's Eve, yes.
Yeah, they're going to be better. And we talked about how talented that team is. The only thing holding them back was the quarterback position. So by New Year's Day, that team could be ready to contend for next year.
Right.
So I think Garoppolo has that talent. I think he's light years better than what they had starting quarterback.
No question.
So look, they're going to build. So that move is scary in the future. The move that's scary right now is Dwayne Brown in Seattle.
You think so?
Oh, my God. Look, Russell Wilson is the toughest quarterback to bring down.
Yes.
Without question in the National Football League. Now that Aaron Rodgers is out, he is the toughest quarterback to sack in the National Football League. So now you give him the best left tackle in the or one of the best left tackles in the game. That's like adding 5 seconds per pass play.
Wow. 5 seconds is a lot.
Well, you're shutting down one side.
Sure.
So now he only has to dodge three guys when four can't get him. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to change them. That's going to make them better in the run game. He's an above-average run blocker and way above-average pass protector. Mm-hmm. So that's going to make them a lot better. And it seems like Seattle has caught fire as of late.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Seattle is starting to round back into Seattle form.
Oh, and this is what they do pretty much every year, you know? Yeah. I mean, you get to November, and that's when they really start turning it on.
Mm-hmm. And championship football team.
It is. Yeah. You know, you've got to figure some things out throughout the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, because that's just the way this league is right now.
Right.
But once you get to a certain point, you don't want to play Seattle, man, because they're good.
Yeah, I mean, every team's going to build, but, I mean, Seattle has a proven track record of knowing how to win when it gets cold outside.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you add that, Dwayne Brown, to that offense. That changes a lot of what you can do to them and what they can do to you now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big move.
Yeah, no question. But I just think but the Jimmy Garoppolo thing stunned me a little bit more than that, just mm-hmm. because everybody knows that Seattle needed something on their offensive line in order to improve that team. They've needed that for a few years, right? So, but you also know that the Niners are going to address the quarterback position, but you don't expect it to happen in the middle of the season. That's, I think, what mostly stunned me about
it. Well, I mean, look, Jimmy Garoppolo in New England is one thing. We don't know what he's going to be like in San Francisco.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I remember talking about Matt Flynn as the next guy. And
it's
then
true, in Seattle.
He turned out to be a guy. Yeah. So we'll see. But this, if we give credit for Andrew Whitworth for turning this team around, you just put one of the best left tackles on an already built football team with a Pro Bowl quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Yeah. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing we do know about Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, that's a good looking dude. I'm telling you, man. I have no qualms about saying
you want to jump in on this one?
We'll just change subject. My favorite tweet of this past week was, I see the NFL trade deadline is going as the NBA trade deadline for Halloween.
I like it.
Yeah. It's true. That's true.
That's good.
That was funny.
That almost made me forget what he just said.
If you can't appreciate that Jimmy Garoppolo...
Almost made me forget. Now he's going to try to bring it back around.
If you can't appreciate that, I don't know what you're looking at.
Marcell Dareus was traded to Jacksonville, right?
Yes, he was. Yes.
So an already loaded defensive line got another one.
Yeah.
Damn, that's scary.
Yeah,
Jacksonville is not going away.
Listen, it's a good thing you already played Jacksonville this season, because that defense is good, man.
Yeah, man.
And it's very good.
Yeah, they remind me of those two-week defenses where they beat you up on game day and you're still sore the next week. So they beat you twice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Credit to the Rams, because they were able to still score.
Get ahead and stay ahead.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, against that team. And then, you know, but if you're two-week defense and you play them, you got to get on the plane, you know, 8 hours, go to London.
Yeah,
and
you
still perform like that, that speaks to the Rams.
Thank you, Farrell Cooper. Thank you, Corey Littleton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's for sure. One thing, though, about the trading deadline that just – another thing that kind of blew my mind – is the Cleveland trade that did not happen. Have you read about this? Man, oh man.
I was trying to avoid it.
Man, you know what?
I'll say this.
I don't know. As a Cleveland native, you see all these things that come out about the Browns and whatnot, and it just makes me sad, because I know how much the city cares for that team, because I was born there.
I was raised there.
I'm not tearing
up. He's
tearing up. Give me a break. But I just know, and then when you see that and you just think, man, you know?
Yeah. That's
because horrible. That was a proud, storied franchise.
He's tearing up.
Before 1996, when it went to Baltimore, which is now still a proud franchise and this proud, stable franchise. And I just think, for you to want to trade a 2 and a 3 for A.J. McCarron, and you don't even get that done, for some reason you forgot how trades work.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently.
You're right.
It's just really sad.
O-S. F-O-S. Factory of Sadness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See you Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That was the end of that video.
Man, that's just terrible.
It is.
I feel bad. And the other shocker, and I think Cam Newton said it best, some things about this league you'll just never understand. Why would you trade Kelvin Benjamin?
I don't know.
Why would you trade your best weapon?
Because you're, like, are you mad at Cam Newton?
You must be, I guess.
Like, I don't get it. What did they get back for him? I can't remember off the top of my head, but it wasn't that much.
Not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a third rounder and a seventh rounder.
Right, which...
You got picks, and you're still playing this season.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're still in the thick of it in this season, especially because you have a former MVP as your quarterback.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
That's a head scratcher.
We must be all missing something here.
Yeah. I scratched my head so hard I touched my brain. That one just doesn't make sense.
Scratched your head so hard you touched your
brain. Why would you trade Kelvin Benjamin?
I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't have done
That's like trading, like, Todd Gurley right now.
Kind of,
for picks.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
They know Sean McDermott. Because, you know,
I don't care if he's your father. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Good Lord.
Okay, speaking of Sean McDermott.
Wow.
Does that guy not look like Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I didn't put that together until right now. I'll have to look again. Does he look like Flea?
I think he really looks like Flea.
I'm a Flea
Matt,
fan,
do you know,
too.
Do you know?
Couldn't even tell you what he looks like.
Okay. Look
him
up.
Which one? McDermott or Flea?
I know what Flea looks like.
Okay.
Look up Sean McDermott and tell us if
you'd
he
be
looks
the
like
judge.
Flea.
Okay.
All right, but when we're done with what we're about to talk about. So
it's funny. Can I tell Flea story real
quick?
Yes.
Oh, please.
When the Red Hot Chili Peppers played the concert right before the Seattle game last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw Flea walking off the field.
Yeah.
And it's one of those famous moments where I know Flea. Flea doesn't know me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Flea, what's up, Flea? And he's like, who are you? I'm like, oh, he doesn't know me from Adam. Just a weird moment. Anyway.
Matt. I would argue that he does look like Flea. I would also argue that he kind of looks like Michael Bradley.
Michael Bradley, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Like Flea's current form or like a younger version of Flea?
Probably younger.
Younger,
well,
okay.
A little younger.
Okay.
Have you ever seen those two guys in the same room? I don't know.
Great question.
Thumbs talented head. Dude.
Hey, Flea can coach, man. And play bass. Wow.
So the Rams did not make any trades at the deadline, but they could have Lance Dunbar back sooner than later. He started practicing on Monday, so that three-week clock has now started. They'll either take him off PUP, put him on the active roster, or they will put him on IR.
Yeah.
Seems more likely than not to me that they will put him on the active roster eventually.
I'm glad you brought that up. You need to crack what you thought this team was about and move into more of what the NFL is right now. How do you put Dunbar up? Who do you have to put down? It doesn't matter. If you can catch passes, if you can advance the football, there's a role for you in this offense.
For sure.
They can find a way to get you on the field and to score points or get first downs with you. So, and it won't be out of hurt feelings if you're sat down for this week, because next week it could be you.
Yep.
And the week after it could be the next guy. So I think it's about the personality of your head coach and how he does things. But once Dunbar became healthy and becomes an active player, I guarantee you he'll be out there.
Yeah, it's funny. He brought that up this week when we were talking with him about how Sean McVay can just integrate different pieces and different parts into this offense no matter what, you know? So it's not like, I think somebody asked him, have you seen plays where you see yourself in this offense? And he's like, well, yes and no, because even if I don't, I know that McVay can come up with something for me. And I think because of the type of player Lance Dunbar is, where he can run it out of the backfield effectively, and he also is a really good pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yes.
That's something.
That's why he's here.
Yes, it is. And that's something that I think once he gets on the active roster, Sean McVay can definitely take advantage of.
And it opens up the offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, it's not just Tavon Austin that can take a jet sweep. Robert Woods can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Todd Gurley who can take a rush attempt from the dot. You've seen Tavon do that.
You have.
And the thing, Tavon makes a great point or illustrates a great point. He's kind of switched roles. He's been very productive in that role. But the thing that's impressed me the most is his blocking.
Yes.
And he's the smallest receiver you have.
You know, I'm really glad you brought this up because that 18-yard touchdown that
doesn't happen without him.
Exactly.
Right.
And it was funny because, I don't know, I sort of think I have started to watch football a little bit differently than most people in that, and this is a credit to you, but you sort of try to look at how the play might develop as opposed to just the ball.
Right.
But I remember I'm sitting there and I'm cold because we're outside, but you start looking at the play. And DeMarco is looking at Matt right now because I mentioned that I'm cold. And
anyway,
they're just sharing a look of just distaste for me.
Okay, go ahead.
And I think it's great.
Go ahead.
Anyway, but I'm sitting there and I see this play start to develop because Tavon had come off the jet sweep fake. And he basically I saw the block that should happen before it started to happen. And I was like, man, if Tavon gets this block,
boom,
it's there. And he did.
It was a great block.
It was a great
block. A decleater. Got him off his feet. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, not just a visual deterrent like some receivers. I just get in the way and the running back makes the play. But he actually got the guy on the ground.
He did.
Gave him the lane for the touchdown.
And that was Patrick Peterson. And Peterson is trying to get back up. And by that time, Todd Gurley's all the way past him.
Gone.
And he's into the end zone.
Absolutely.
For a touchdown.
Great play.
Yeah, it was a great play. But, yeah, that I think illustrates the point more of, okay, Tavon's doing that. What can Lance Dunbar add to you? We'll see.
I think what he adds is just another matchup problem for the defense.
Sure.
When you think, look, there's first and second, third down, you think first and second are rundowns. Well, that's not the case anymore, especially when you have versatile guys. So just the same with Tavon Austin. When you're looking at him on the other side as a defender and you're saying, what is he right now? Is he a receiver or running back? How are we going to cover him? Well, Dunbar provides the same sort of problem. but he's a bigger version of that.
He's a
running back too.
Yes.
So you're going to have problems trying to cover him or keep guys on him out of the backfield.
Right. Now, so when will we see Dunbar? That is still a bit unclear.
Right.
He said himself this week that, you know, he knows it's probably not in his best interest to be out there before he's really, really ready. Now, he's been running for the last few weeks, and he says he feels healthy. So see how he responds to this week of practice. McVay and Les Snead will likely sit down toward the end of the week and figure out what that roster spot, if that's going to be something this week, next week, whatever. But it's encouraging that he is back on the field.
Now, the injuries are different, but I would just room with LaMarcus Joyner. Whatever he's doing, do that. Because coming back that fast from a hamstring and playing well, wow, that's amazing.
Getting
he eats Rusty Nail sandwiches.
Yeah, he does.
Something Miles doesn't know anything about.
I don't know anything
about that. He's never eaten a Rusty Nail sandwich in his life.
And I don't think I ever will. All right, so New York Giants.
Yes.
They're 1-6 right now, but what scares you about this team? Oh,
they've earned it. They have absolutely earned that 1-6.
Yeah?
Yeah, including the one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they've earned it. Look, prideful football team, shorthanded. Their best weapon is on the bench in street clothes, Odell Beckham Jr. So it
maybe
is what it is.
Second best, too, depending on who you talk to.
Brandon Marshall?
Brandon Marshall,
I mean, look, they're beat up. They're injured. A lot of teams go through it. I mean, they still have Eli Manning, who some consider elite. He's got two rings.
Can't spell elite without ELI.
I think that puts you in a different category when you win Super Bowls. But
it does.
Shorthanded on both sides of the football, and it seems like they're imploding. They're having a lot of issues.
They are.
That are getting out. I mean, you just can't hide in New York. So the last thing you want to do with them is give them any sort of daylight.
Right.
And allow them to hang around in a football game. Just remind them that they're 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
Remind them early that you're better and they're not a good football team and they will go away quietly. But if you let them hang around like Denver did, they could jump up and beat you.
Well, Denver's other problem right there was at quarterback in that game, and that's why they have since replaced Trevor Siemian. Obviously, Siemian got a couple more games after that, but that's part of the reason why New York won that game was because Trevor Siemian allowed them to stay in the game.
See, we've been doing this a long time. He knew exactly what I was saying without even saying it.
I did. That's why I said it.
Yeah,
I didn't even congratulate you guys on over a year of Between the Horns.
It's been over a year?
It's been over a year. Woo.
The key card still works. How about that?
I know.
Yay.
They haven't thrown us off yet. Matt, they probably didn't realize that it's been over a year, so now you probably just got us canceled.
Wow.
well, let's high five for something else to do.
Let's just
Yay.
Keep fooling them.
All right, yeah, let's keep fooling them.
But that's what I mean. I mean,
what
I meant was Jared Goff and the offense in particular. Stay on the field.
Yeah.
Make sure you're scoring points. Sevens versus threes,
yes.
But threes will count.
Yes.
Keep the pressure on Eli and that offense, and eventually, look, by sheer numbers, they're going to fold. That's what happens. That's what has happened in six of their losses.
And you bring up a great point. The numbers bear that out. We were talking about this on Keys to Victory earlier. If you look at how the defense is played, they play a lot of snaps, 69 snaps. That's a nice amount there when you have that many snaps in a ball game for the defense. And in order to have that happen, I mean, you're getting the defense tired, right? So
right.
I think it's the second most snaps in the league at 69. And then you also have the 62 points allowed in the fourth quarter.
Right. They fold towards the end. Yeah.
And so, again, you have to be able to take advantage of that.
69 plays per game in one of the most complicated schemes I've ever been around.
Maybe it's not so nice.
In Steve Spagnuolo's defense.
Yeah.
It is so complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts to that defense.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling?
I'm sorry, because I'm a 13-year-old, and I was really trying to get through it. But, yeah. Never mind.
What did I just miss?
We're going to keep going.
Anyway.
If you got it, you got it, audience.
So eventually, like I said, with that defense, you're going to find dead spots and holes.
Right.
They are dependent on getting off the field through takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out or heard or read that Janoris Jenkins was going to be suspended for this game, you want to talk about a big grin. Yeah. If you can get Landon Collins to also be suspended, then I'd be really, really happy. But at least one of their best playmakers is off the field.
It's true. They do have still some talented guys. Rogers, Cromartie,
can
Eli
play.
Apple also
can play.
Ohio State guy. But then Landon Collins, though, I think that's the biggest guy.
He can wreck your Sunday.
Right, because he did that when the Rams played the Giants in London last year. You know, he had that pick six that went off a receiver's hands, and I can't remember the receiver off the top of my head.
Well, we forgot about him.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, he's aggressive but not over-aggressive on the run. He seems to get there right as the ball carrier is crossing the line of scrimmage, so there's not a lot of space for that guy to deal with him. So any running back that's had to take him on has had to take him on in a physical sort of way. Yeah. You're not going to shake him.
No.
He's either going to make you bounce or make you turn the ball back to his help. He is just that good.
Yeah.
But I think there might be some ways to take advantage of that aggressiveness through play action.
Hmm.
But that only starts with running the ball.
Right.
And running the ball effectively early.
And the Rams have done that pretty well. I mean, in four of the last five games, I believe, Todd Gurley has been over 100 yards rushing. So that definitely helps you when it comes to, okay, running the ball and establishing that run. Plus, I'll say this too, Malcolm Brown nearly had 50 yards rushing against the Cardinals, had a lot of those big third down pickups in that long 16-play, 80-yard drive.
That's how it's supposed to be. You have a back like Malcolm Brown that can come in and clean up a game and finish that game to allow Todd just to sit and, you know, watch and rest and get ready for next week or going to the bye week. Start your bye week before the game even ended.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the mark of a butt whooping on game day and a pretty good football
because
team.
Because Todd Gurley had a full day, too. Over
he's had
20
a full,
carries.
Yeah, seven weeks.
Yes,
yeah.
He has.
Yeah,
he has.
Take some time off, relax, let Malcolm finish it up. That's good stuff.
I would like to point out the fact that you were saying this right now after you did say before in a previous episode of Between the Horns when I asked you, are you concerned about Todd Gurley's
I'm
workload?
I'm still not concerned. The game was out of hand. You had it. Take him out. Let Malcolm run. Yeah. I'm not saying he's tired. Just give the guy a break.
All
start
right.
your bye week early.
That's fair. Two young guys on the Giants offense, though, that I think are going to be important to key in on. Sterling Shepard is their wide receiver. He looks like he's going to be able to come back from that ankle injury after missing the last few games.
I was watching tape right before we started, a 76-yard reception.
He's good.
And he caught it, I believe, at 25 and outran everybody to the end zone.
I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl. It must have been last year, so 2016, when he was a rookie. And he, I thought, was one of the better wide receivers that was at that event. So he's definitely somebody to watch.
Credible. Credible guy. Look, Their offensive line is huge, the biggest line you've faced so far this year and probably all year. I call it a 1,600-pounder. They're all over 320. They're huge. They're monstrous. They're wide bodies. They put the Giant in New York Giants. They're huge.
Ba-dum-bum.
They are. I mean, and they're pretty good pass protectors as well. I mean, it's Fluker, DJ Fluker, who used to be in San Diego or the L.A. Chargers now, is now at right guard.
Uh-huh.
And he's a mile wide. He's as wide as he is tall.
Right.
So if you get into a game where you have to face that 60 or 70 times and they're running the ball, you're going to wear down.
Right.
It's inevitable. They're huge. But if you force them into a situation where they have to pass protect more than they'd like, you're going to get to them.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. That's just a function of how big they are.
Right. The other weapon that I think can really help them is tight end Evan Engram.
Woo, he's a problem.
Yes,
yeah.
He's definitely a problem. A few of those games that I was watching, it looks like they're doing a lot of shallow cross stuff with him. And that's something that they'll probably continue to do against the Rams because the Rams play a lot of man coverage.
Yeah, I know that Wade Phillips respects him. And I know that Sean McVay, the Rams head coach, appreciates that ability.
Uh-huh.
You know, he loves tight ends. Well,
yes.
When you talk about modern tight ends, this guy would come to mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a problem. In line, off the line, on the move. There was a play where they motioned him into the backfield as a fullback, and he shot through everybody and scored a touchdown from 18 yards out. So he's a problem for, let's say, Mark Barron, who might be on him, Alec Ogletree, who's going to be on him, or any safety they line up in obvious passing situations. And Eli Manning is feeding him the football.
Right.
He's the only guy it seems like he trusts in that passing game.
And for good reason. I mean, Engram right now has over 30 catches, I think 340-some yards, three touchdowns. So it's not like Engram has been ineffective. And when they do, they line him up in line, and like you were saying, they split him out wide, too. And that poses really big matchup issues, and that's something that they might look to in this game.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, if you look at the weakness or quote-unquote weakness of any 3-4 defense or anybody's defense, it's that guy, that tight end, that athlete versus your linebackers.
Yes.
In regular personnel. Can those guys who are basically run stoppers, can they convert to, you know, pass defenders and cover that guy? So, for the most part, only Seattle's had an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had four targets and no catches. Mm-hmm. But everyone else, he's made pay.
Yes. No, it's true. Couple things before we get out of here. Bye week malaise. You start off the game after a bye week slowly. A lot of that happens to teams. How do you combat that? How did you combat that?
It depends on your coach, man. Yeah. First off, look, you just can't open the doors and allow guys to leave right when it's the bye week. You have to give them some sort of exit meeting or focus the brain. Hey, look, take a vacation, get away from it for a little while, but don't get too far away from it. Yeah. We still have X, Y, and Z left to play. And these are our goals. We've hit this goal. We've hit that goal. We still have this, this, and this that's still out there. So make sure you send them out with the right message. And then be strict when they come back. Mm-hmm. I want you guys back here. I want you guys back on time. I want you guys doing this, this, and this. And we're going to weigh in. We're going to do this. We're going to do – just put these unreal expectations of guys coming back through the door just to make sure when they get away from it that they're not completely switching off from football.
Right. And so, but you think that the Rams will be able to do that against this Giants team?
Your head coach is 31 years old. Yes. Absolutely. The guy doesn't sleep.
Well,
yes.
Right. And I think that comes from just knowing the way those guys talked about practice on Wednesday, that things were so sharp that they might have had the best day of practice that they had on Wednesday. I think Goff said that. Roger Saffold said that. Jamon Brown said that when I was talking to them in the locker room. So I thought that was really interesting.
Please come out to practice after a bye week dragging ass. Please do that with Sean McVay and Wade Phillips.
Yeah,
please. And make sure we're out there for practice.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
So how much did you enjoy London as we do some self-indulgent topics?
Fun. The Abbey Studios was just,
I was jealous. I wish I was able to go to that.
I didn't even know it was on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've replaced something on my bucket list with that.
Yeah.
That was amazing. To record in the same studio that the Beatles recorded.
Yeah.
Most of their songs in. All these artists, all these famous people that have come through that one place, and we're standing in the exact same area trying to sing one of their songs.
Yeah.
With a real live professional vocal coach who was not just there to have fun. She was teaching us how to sing the
really?
Song. Yeah, and was strict.
Who was the worst singer in there? Was it you?
It was a choir thing, so
yeah.
You really couldn't hear.
Uh-huh.
But Tori Holt, I'm not saying he can't sing. No, I mean, he can sing, but he got into it. Like, he was really, really, really,
really,
really getting into it. Like, Tori, man, like, come on back, bro. You know, you don't have to act.
Yes.
You're not on stage, you know?
You're just singing and recording?
Yeah, no one's watching us.
Yeah.
Just relax. But yeah, I mean, he really got into it. But that was really, really special.
How about the Bear Boy and Banker Pub, too? I mean, just that event. That was really, really cool.
The Rams rally.
Yes,
that
was rally
cool.
They had in the pub, and you guys were on ESPN LA for a while.
Yeah, a lot of Rams fans, a lot of football fans from around the world.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to someone from the Channel Islands. You were there, weren't you, for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
And it never really occurred to me. They would love to get to more football games. It's just America is so far away.
Right.
It's a long flight. But London is closer for them, so they don't miss London games.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who's playing. They're going to show up and be there with their Rams gear on. So just seeing all the fans from different parts of the world that are so excited about football,
right?
Period, and
yeah.
wanting to learn more about football was just awesome.
Yeah, I had a lot of good conversations at that event. I mean, saw people from LA that we mm-hmm. know and that we've been around before, but people from the UK, obviously, it's there, but people from Germany, too. I was talking to one guy from Germany. I believe his name is Luis. Shout out to you if you're listening, Luis.
But, hello, Luis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were talking for like 15, 20 minutes just about all things Rams, and it was really, really cool.
Nice.
So shout out to all you guys who were able to make it out to the pub.
I have to make a stunning admission. When she said she's from the Channel Islands, I acted like I knew where that was, and then immediately went to my phone. You know where the Channel Islands are?
No, but I did the same thing.
See?
Machine. Matt, tell us all where the Channel Islands are.
Give me a sec.
See? Put them on the spot, right?
Where are the Channel Islands? On the spot.
Where are they?
You know what?
Okay.
I don't know.
And what school did you go to?
I didn't take any geography classes at Columbia as I vamp a little bit to give Matt some time to look this up as where this is on the globe.
The Channel Islands are an archipelago in the English Channel off the French coast of Normandy.
Okay.
I had no idea where that was. I just kind of nodded. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Been there twice.
Channel Islands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Left my shoe there. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm a little embarrassed now. But what are you looking forward to this week in New York? I'm looking forward to it.
Wow. Out of the Rams, right? Or just the city?
No, I mean just the city. We're being self-indulgent right now.
Oh, well, gosh. I wanted to go do some sightseeing. I don't know how much of that we're going to be able to do.
It's supposed to be rainy?
In light of recent current events.
Yeah, it's also true.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of that we're going to be able to do. So that kind of put a damper on all of this, the sightseeing sort of stuff. So, you know, if it's just, you know, fly to New York and do football, that will be just enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
So on game day, I'm looking for the offense to be twice as dominant. The defense to be equally as dominant as they were against the Arizona Cardinals. So you're going to need it. I know it sounds funny when you're talking about a 1-6 football team, but this is the NFL. They get paid too, and if you sleepwalk or ease into a street fight, they are good enough to beat you, or at least take you to the wire and make you really work for it. So you need the Rams to be at their best to beat a 1-6 New York.
I agree with that, especially because New York is also coming off of their bye week. So they've had a couple weeks to study the Rams too, and they're going to be fired up, and they're going to be trying to come out and really win this game. Because
no doubt.
Look, this is a prideful football team. It's a team that does know Sean McVay pretty well because Sean McVay was in the division. You know, that means
and
Sean
vice
McVay.
Versa.
Yeah, Sean McVay knows them also. But I think this is going to be a really competitive matchup because, look, there's when you're talking about a team in the National Football League and it's still November, it's not like their season is totally over.
No.
There's still a lot to play for.
There's still a lot of pride. And, you know, look, winning is the greatest deodorant of all time.
It is.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
It covers up a lot of stink. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, what those guys need in New York right now is a victory.
Yep.
Over anybody. So, and they're looking for it. They need a lot of help to get one. So let's hope the Rams don't provide that help.
Absolutely. Well, any parting shots, DeMarco?
Let's see. Channel Islands, what did we get through? Jimmy Garoppolo, you're a fan. Witch with a B.
We got through a lot today.
The mid-season, not-so-mid-season reports.
It's a little longer between the horns. We had a lot to talk about.
The Rams haven't beat the Giants since 2001.
Yeah.
Shocking. Head-scratcher.
Eli Manning, 5-0, I believe, is the record against the Rams.
Let's change that.
All right.
Yeah? It's been a year, man.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into this edition of Between the Horns. Be sure to catch the game on Fox this Sunday. Gosh, I sort of tried to change
up. We've been back for London for a while now. That's just you.
Let's try this again. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this edition of Between the Horns. For Matt, golly, now I can't even close the show.
Take a timeout. Take a
timeout.
Come to the sideline.
The show's over. All right. The game's at 10 o'clock on Fox on Sunday. For my producer, Matt, for DeMarco Farr, I'm Miles Simmons. We'll see you next week.